The Ray D'Arcy Show on RTE Radio 1 with All Care Pharmacy. Expert advice to keep the whole family healthy at All Care, the largest Irish-owned pharmacy brand.
Strange times indeed. How are you on this Wednesday afternoon? If you want to contact the programme, 51551 or ray@rte.ie. I'm surprised that more things like that don't happen, because we're on a skeleton staff here in the radio centre. And thanks to everybody who's made the effort to come in, and thanks to everybody who has made the effort to stay at home as well. Because isn't that the odd thing about what we're going through? The call to action for a lot of people is inaction. And it goes against everything we want to be and we want to do, but that's the way it is. Very unusual times. But you have to see a bit of humour in it. I was listening to the news at one. Prince Charles has the coronavirus, and we wish him well. Camilla doesn't have it, so that raises questions. And he is self-isolating with six members of staff. Six members of staff. Self-isolating with six members of staff. Is Prince Charles. Yeah. Disney Plus arrived yesterday. Now, again, they must be rubbing their hands together. No, they wouldn't do that. But it couldn't have happened at a better time for frustrated parents around the country. I did the maths on it, just so you know, right? It's a streaming service that has all Disney's movies. It also has new original content. And I'm not being paid to say this. I'm just telling you, I'm informing you. And it also has all The Simpsons and lots more besides. It's €69 a year. Now, that's less than £1.50 a week. We've two children at home, so that's less than 75 cent each per week. So I thought, yeah. So I told them they had a surprise. And they're going, what's the surprise? Wait till after dinner. Surprise, surprise. What is it, Daddy? What is it, Daddy? Is it for me? Is it for me? I said, it's for everybody. And it's a gift for life. I should have said at least a year, because I'd signed up for a year. And then we sat down and I did, and there it was. And they were underwhelmed originally, because children are so difficult to impress these days, and there's so many different streaming services. And they were looking at a big, you know, the screen with these things, and it could have been Apple or it could have been Netflix, could have been anything. So then I informed them what it was, and they got a little bit more surprised. And then there was a new movie called Stargirl. And Jenny had read the book to Kate when she was younger. And we sat down as a family and we watched it. And it was lovely. And I'm getting softer and softer as I get older. But I cried. It's just a lovely, touching story of two teenagers who don't fit in. And their love for each other. And it was first love, so very intense. And it doesn't work out. No, spoiler alert, won't say anything. But it's highly recommend from here. So that's Disney Plus. That's what we did last night. It's reassuring. There's a number of reassuring things happening now. China is returning slowly to normality. So they've got through it. And I know things are bad in Spain and Italy. And they're saying that America could be the epicentre of it. Leo Varadkar has said that there is unlikely to be 15,000 confirmed cases of the virus in Ireland by the end of the month. He said that last week. The end of the month is next Tuesday, 31st March, isn't it? So the way things are going, it's not likely to be that high, which means what we're doing is working. Because they would have put the statistics into some sort of modelling computer thingamajig and come up with 15,000. And we're flattening the curve, but we need to keep doing what we're doing. And that's hugely important. Physical distancing, 6 feet. And we need to get the message out to the young people. I don't know how you do that. I don't know how you do it. I don't know how you do it at all. And I'm not talking about young people like primary school children. I'm talking about 18 to 25 year olds. They seem to be the people who are gathering in groups, despite the fact they've been told not to. So there's a limit now of four, unless you are a family unit. So if you see more than four people, don't go up and say it to them, but just give them a dirty look or something. I don't know how to handle it. I was out for a run this morning, and people are great. People are smiling, they're waving, they're stepping off the pathway to let somebody else, give somebody else the right of way. And everybody's in good spirits and the weather is helping. And the weather is adding to the surrealness of it all, isn't it? Do you find that? Because I was out this morning, sun was shining, sky was blue. It is. I'm constantly reminded of the Truman Show. And then the birds were singing in a sort of an amplified way. It seemed that it was coming from speakers, that it wasn't the real bird song, but it was. And the reason they sound so good is because they're not competing. They're not competing with traffic noise. They're not competing with building and houses, although there is some construction going on in UCD. So they sound louder, particularly in a suburban setting, than they ever did before. So I was so impressed by their song that I went home and I got my recording thingamajig out and I stuck it out the door. Well, actually, I stood in the garden and recorded the bird song from suburban Dublin. You want to listen. But before I play it to you, because I knew I'd read something in the last few months about the healing power of birdsong. That's what I remembered. And then I put it in to the computer and I got an article from The Guardian from sometime last year, which says that scientists at the University of Surrey have been studying the restorative benefits of birdsong, testing whether it really does improve our mood. And they discovered that of all the natural sounds, bird songs and calls were those most often cited as helping people recover from stress and allowing them to restore and refocus their attention. So there. So here's a bit of it for you. The restorative benefits of birdsong and Colin McNamara. Now, usually at this point, at this juncture, I launch into the theme from the Sunday game. But it doesn't seem fitting after that. So I'll just tell you today that in the third quiz in our All-Ireland quiz, it's the turn of Limerick and Dublin. Limerick take on Dublin. We're looking for two people, one from Limerick, one from Dublin, to represent their counties. We'll have them on just after 4 o'clock. 5 questions each. And whoever wins, whoever answers most questions correctly, will be going forward with their county into round 2. So if you're from Dublin, if you're from Limerick, if you want to take part in a general knowledge quiz, give us a call, 1850 715 900. That's 1850 715 900. 1850 715 900. And don't worry, we'll give the Sunday game theme tune a blast later on. It's actually a James Last number called Jaegerlatine or Jaegerlatine. Somebody might correct me on that. 51551 ray at rte.ie. Remember, one person can't help everybody, but everybody can help one person. I love that, Paul. Thanks for that. This is beautiful. Maybe the birds are out enjoying the pollution-free air for a change, says another Paul in Monaster Boyce. And I noticed that the birds are louder too. Well, the excessive noise has stopped. It is so, so healing. When all this is over, I hope we will take some lessons with us, says E. 51551 rayadrt.ie. Good afternoon to Louis Armstrong. We have all the time in the world. 51551 rayadrt.ie. Limerick and Dublin today in our All-Ireland quiz. 1850 715 900. Maeve is awaiting your calls. Deirdre says she's sitting in her kitchen with her eyes closed, enjoying that. And I love the sound of birds tweeting in the morning. Colin's music is an absolute gift. You play him regularly, but not enough. It's hard to please everyone. That's Ken. And Magpie and Male Blackbird are the standout songs on your recording, with Blue Tit and Robin and Chaffinch. Well done. Maybe a keen ear for bird song. And by coincidence, upstairs, I was passing by Derek Mooney. He said, "How are things?" And I said, "Okay, how are you?" And he was telling me that the bird, the Dawn Chorus has been cancelled. So like most things, the Olympics, everything's been cancelled. So too has his amazing annual trans-European radio event, the Dawn Chorus. It was supposed to be on the May weekend, but it has been cancelled. And I just thought it was coincidental that today was the day that I went out into the back and recorded the bird song, and he was talking to me about... Anyway, there you go. That was really beautiful. That has really lifted me. I've just suffered a miscarriage. Oh, you poor thing. And that has given me new hope of life and some tears that were badly needed. And that's Claire. Mind yourself, Claire. Stephen in Sligo says, when the programme's over, people can put bird opera into YouTube. They'll enjoy it. And Paul says, noticed the bird song myself on my run, as well as a lovely bee and a butterfly. Maybe this is a chance for us to slow down. Stay safe, says Paul. And I missed my turn off on the M50. Listen to that bird thing. The bird thing. It was hypnotic. Play it again. I said to my daughter, the birds were singing much louder and nicer. My birds were even louder than yours, says Kath. And out walking in the glorious sunshine with my beautiful 11-month-old twins, listening to that beautiful music. How can you ever doubt God exists? Well, there you go. We'll have that chat some other time. I listened to birdsong yesterday evening as I walked along the canal. It was lovely. Nature is wonderful, says Kate. And we are both widowed from a young age and got married on the 7th of February. Aha, this is Ger and Tom. And you've just played our wedding song by Louis Armstrong. Beautiful. We had a lot of opposition from certain family members to our marriage, but we have never been happier. Love one another and be kind, says Ger and Tom. We did a book of photographs years ago, and with the photographs from the listeners to the radio show came stories. And one of my favourite stories was a couple who'd been married on that particular day. It might have been the 1st of October 2005 or the 3rd of October 2010, whichever day it was. And they had been childhood sweethearts, like the movie last night, Star Lady. And then they'd gone their separate ways for whatever reason, college or work. And they'd got married and had children. And then they'd become a widow and a widower. And then in their 60s, back together and married. And just wonderful story. So that's sort of similar to Ger and Tom's story. Best wishes, which are life together. And Karen and Paul say that song was our first dance at our wedding the 8th of April 2006, 3 kids later. And their 14th anniversary coming up. Yeah, it is. It's a lovely song. It was one of the, it was a theme tune to, wasn't it, to a Bond movie? Wasn't it? Somebody let me know which Bond movie it was. 51551rayadrt.ie. Now, they were talking about it for a week or so, but finally yesterday it was announced that the Tokyo Olympics were to be postponed. And of course, that has a knock-on effect for thousands of athletes all over the world, including our own boxer, Kelly Harrington, who's on the line now. How are you doing, Kelly?
How are you, Ray? How are you?
Good to talk to you. Thanks for taking our call. You probably knew it was going to happen, did you?
We knew it was going to happen. It was just a matter of time of it being called. But I thought it would have been postponed till the end of the year, kind of.
Mm.
It was a bit of a shocker as well, to be honest. Although you know it's going to happen, when it happens, it's still like, oh my God, it's actually real.
Yeah. And every time we spoke in the last year to 18 months, it was 2020, Gearing Towards 2020. And so now there's no 2020 to gear towards. And you were in London as part of a qualifying event, were you?
Yeah, so we had our first qualifiers there in London. And I'm echoing there a bit. Am I echoing?
No, you're not with me. You sound fine on air here. Yeah.
I don't know what that is.
Okay.
Anyways, so we had two qualifiers, and we had the first one in London there, and the competition had started and everything, and I was due to box on the Tuesday, and it was Monday, and two weight categories on the Monday were having fights for qualifying spots. Mm. So we had Brendan Irvine and Court Walker. They were boxing for the last eight. Brendan got through, thankfully. But when I was coming home from training, we were told, oh yeah, yous are all going in the morning. And we were like, haha, very funny. And they're like, no, the competition has been called off. And I didn't believe him. I was saying, yeah, right, go on. And he was like, no, I'm telling you, I wouldn't lie to you, love, like that. And that was it then.
That was it. So will you explain to me now, have some people qualified already?
So there's two weights that have qualified.
Okay.
The 52 kilos and 57. 52 okay. And 57. So we have Brendan Irvine. He has qualified for us.
Right. And you haven't qualified. It would have been nice to qualify because then at least you could relax a little bit. And will those qualifications stand until next year when it's rescheduled?
Nobody knows what's going to happen. So, my thought around it at the time was that they're going to carry on the exact same competition, just at a later date. So the same draw, the same everything, just at a later date. Now, I don't know how that's going to go ahead, because people can get injured and,
yes,
you know, in the meantime. So I don't know, and then there's an age thing there as well.
That's it. That's what I was thinking. Everyone's a year older, aren't they?
Yeah, exactly. But you can only box till you're 40, in amateurs anyway.
Well, you're not near 40, are you?
No, I'm 30 now, so yeah. Next year I'll be 31.
Well, that's not a consideration for you. What are the considerations for you, Kelly? What's been going through your head over the last 24 hours?
To be honest, I would have just liked to get that qualification out of the way, and then the Olympics being cancelled till next year wouldn't have been as much of a blow to me, to be honest with you. It's just now known that we have to go and do the same thing all over again. That's a bit of it is hard to take. It's a tough pill to swallow, but you just have to get on with it. People think you're an athlete, they think you have some kind of you're a superhuman or something, and you know, you're positive all the time. It's very hard to be positive when stuff like this happens, you know.
I suppose it's for the greater good. What's your personal situation now? Are you out and about? Because when we spoke before, you work in a hospital, don't you?
Yeah, I'm working in St. Vincent's Hospital in Fairview. But since we come back from London, we've had to go into a 14-day quarantine. But I would have been doing that anyways, because that's what everybody else is doing. It's HSC guidelines to stay at home, stay away from people that you don't need to be around, unless you definitely need to be around them. But I'm hoping to get back to work after the 14 days are up.
Okay.
And I haven't shown symptoms and so on.
Yeah. And what day are you on?
I am on, so it'll be the first weekend in April.
Right, you'll be finished your 14 days. How is it going for you?
Oh, no, sorry, I thought you meant what day am I on in work?
Oh, yeah, no. I mean, what day are you on in your self-isolation? What?
I'm on day 9.
Day 9, right.
It feels like day 99, though.
<That's> it, How are you occupying yourself? How are you filling your day?
I'd say the neighbours love me. I have the music blaring. We've a little gym in the side of the house, so I'm in there still working away. Because I'm working because the Olympics or anything like that. I just need to train for my own mental health.
Of course,
you know, that's it. So I'm just doing that. Shadow boxing out my back garden, going for a run on my own, doing little small things just to look after my own mental state.
Well, mind yourself, and hopefully it'll all work out. And maybe it's a positive. You've an extra year to hone your skills as a boxer. Mind yourself, Kelly. Bye now.
Thanks, Ray. Thanks a million. Bye. Talk to you soon. Bye-bye. Bye.
5 on 551, RayRTE.ie.
The Ray D'Arcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
5 on 551. The reaction to that recording that I did this morning. If I'd known, Enjoyed listening to your piece on the bird song you recorded in Dublin this morning. I must mention that whatever about early morning, the traffic volume on Tralee to Dingle Road throughout the day is still fairly heavy, with both private and commercial vehicles, albeit somewhat less at key times of the day. So bird not so overly apparent close to the road, says that person. That's Pat. Keep well and safe. Same to you, Pat. And it's lovely to hear you playing Birdsong today. My dad has been in University of Limerick Hospital over a month now, and since the hospital visiting ban, we haven't seen him. He doesn't have a smartphone, so we can't send him videos, etc. I know he listens to your show, and he'd have loved hearing the bird singing. He hasn't heard any natural sounds or seen trees, etc., since going in over a month ago. The poor man. So if you can play some more bird songs today, I'm sure anyone in a hospital would benefit from the healing sounds. My dad's name is Brendan. How are you doing, Brendan? And we're hoping he'll be home soon. But for now, I'm very grateful to all the staff in University of Limerick Hospital for all the great work they do. Stay safe, says that person. I've just seen if there's a name there at the end of it there. Let's scroll, scroll, scroll. Carol, that's Carol. And that Louis Armstrong tune is from the Bond movie On Her Majesty's Secret Service. The music was written by John Barry, who also scored many great movies like Goldfinger, Born Free, Out of Africa, Dance with Wolves, a wonderful composer. As a primary school teacher, I used to use his music as background for my art lessons when all the boys in De La Salle Boys Primary School, Kildare, were busy creating their masterpieces. Enjoying the show. Vinnie Thorpe. That's my old school. That's my old school, the De La Salle Boys Primary School, Kildare Town. That's Vinnie Thorpe. Vinnie wasn't there when I was there. Primary schools, we got a letter from Tom's teacher, and I thought it was such a lovely letter that I asked Miss Corr's permission to read it out to you. I've been mentioning it on and off for the last couple of days, so I'll just read this to you before we get to our next guest, who's going to talk to us about letter writing. Anyway, it went, "Dear parents, as we come to the end of our first full week of social distancing, I just wanted to check in with you all. I hope you and all your families are safe and healthy. It is indeed a very strange time for us all. I do take some solace in the fact that we are all in this together, and it's amazing to hear daily of the small and big ways people are helping each other. I know some of the children are missing school and their friends. This must be a very strange time for them. But children are resilient and will feed off what is around them, so it's important they feel safe. I truly believe that while doing work, which will keep things ticking over and also help with routine for everyone in the house, is good and should be encouraged, it's not worth fighting over. You're not expected to suddenly become homeschoolers. Baking, art, gardening, imaginative play, and of course reading are all really important too, as is fresh air. You've all been sent my school email. Please feel free to use this. You can also contact me through WhatsApp. I'm in and out of school and can easily get more work for anyone that needs it. As much as your children miss school, we definitely miss them all and you more. I'm also available on Zoom or FaceTime should any of them have a question they want to ask virtually. That is, stay safe, everyone." So that's from Miss Corr there. And I know Anne will be a big fan of that sort of thing. Anne Hackett.
Yes, how are you doing, Anne? Good afternoon. Yeah, lovely to chat to you.
Love to chat to you again. And we spoke to you last year. You came into studio and brought some of your lovely apple. Was it apple tart or apple pie?
Oh, no, apple tart.
Apple tart, sorry.
Always be very careful now on that one, haven't we?
And the reason we brought you in was you sent us a letter about letter writing. And now more than ever, I think people are returning to the art or the skill or the pastime called letter writing, aren't they?
Yes. Well, following on chatting to you before, I had a very interesting phone call from somebody in Roscommon, and this was a neighbour that phoned, and she said to me, "I've been talking to my neighbour. He's a farmer, lovely family, and has family abroad." Mm. So she went over to him and she said to him, "You have a son in Australia. Do you ever write to him?" And he said, "No. Sure, herself is on the phone every week to him." "Ah," she said, "no, you need to write." But he said, "What would I write about?" And I think that is where the kernel of it is. I think when you're away from home, you write the letter as you speak. You write it the same conversation. John up the road got married, Mary's broke up, whatever it is.
Yes.
Got a new priest that says nothing is a sin.
Yeah.
And, you know, the church is full. It's the simple, simple things that you write.
Mm.
But
and
more
people
so
have
than
more...
ever, I would say, now is the time to write.
Yeah.
Sometimes we also feel we have to write to Australia or America or Alaska, like I do quite a lot. But sometimes it's just down the road for you. It could be Kerry, Wicklow, whatever it is. I think we have to think now of people that may be on their own, because there's never a time that a postman's knock in the letterbox, whatever, is not welcome.
Mm-hmm. And people have time.
Well, they have time to write. But yes. Sometimes if you haven't got into the habit of writing when you were young, it becomes kind of, you know, you think it becomes a chore.
Mm-hmm.
The joy you get out of it when you write and you reread your letter. Do you remember when you were at school, Ray? They always taught you, reread what you have written.
Yes.
And it is very important to reread. But I would say there is nothing you can do better right now than write, but not just to Alaska.
To down the road.
Down the road. It's the people. It's even if it's just a note, if it's just a little note about something or someone. Now, I recently heard in the last few days that the post office are going to send 2 cards to everybody.
Yes, the man was on the news at 1.
I'm thrilled. Yeah. I'm absolutely delighted.
Isn't that great?
You see, that's a simple thing, but it's very important, because it'll give a kick start to a lot of people that perhaps would find, where is the notepaper in the house? Where's the envelope? Where's the stamps?
Yeah.
And I think this is very important. And also, the stamps were to go up on the 19th of March, and apparently they haven't put them up in price. And that is good. That's a good, because stamps have got very expensive.
So just to inform people, and the CEO, David McRedmond, was on with Áine Lawler on the News at 1. And he told them about a number of measures that they were putting into place from On Post. And on the postcards, it says, we're encouraging everyone to reach out to friends and family. We are distributing 2 postcards for each household. We've distributed 2 million so far. And we're going to distribute another 3 million to homes, to nursing homes, to everybody in our society, to prisoners. Everybody is going to get these cards so they can write their loved ones and let them know they're thinking of them while staying apart. Isn't that nice? And the other thing is, and I don't know how well you know your postman, but particularly down the country, postmen and women, post people, if that's what you want to call them, fulfil a hugely important role in the community.
They do.
Yes.
Of course they do.
Yeah.
And years and years ago, now I'm very old, right? But years ago, I remember coming in from school and often seeing the postman sitting at the end of the table where he would halfway be on his round. And my mother always had the scone or whatever it was, and he'd drop in, he'd have the cup of tea. And that was important too. You saw the postman, you saw different people like that when you came in from school. And your memory just goes back to these, it's just the feeling. Because as my mother used to say, you always can have a well-set table, even if you don't have a lot on it. But it is very important. It is very important, I think, the cup of tea, but the letters. But
I
think people...
Now, will you talk to me about your bacon as well?
Seemingly,
I'm in your bad books, am I?
You've been my bad books.
Why so?
You were talking about, you went home, you made... Oh, by the way, congratulations on the brown bread.
That
was brilliant. But then you were talking about you going home and you weren't too sure what to call it. The curly bread.
The curly bread, yes. Yeah,
the sultana bread.
Yes, yeah.
But what I feel is, people feel they have to have, you know, the same as you see on the television when some cook is demonstrating and they have 47 things in front of them in little dishes. Let me tell you, cooking and baking doesn't involve 47 dishes. And it doesn't matter if you don't go out and get the buttermilk. It doesn't matter any of those things. All you need really is white flour, brown flour, a bit of salt. Now, the salt's important.
Yes.
A pinch of salt. Depending on which flour you have, anyhow, I would throw in the bit of baking powder.
Right.
And milk from the fridge. Could be yesterday's milk or whatever. Just throw it. There's no big deal on it, Ray. Mm. It's very simple.
And it's very therapeutic, Anne. I've discovered that. It's very therapeutic. Lovely smell in the house and you feel you've achieved something.
Well, I have...
Ticks a lot of boxes.
That's it. Well, the postman came to me. He comes... It's one of my son's orders online. It drives me crazy, but whoever, that's another story. So he used to bring the parcels to me, and he'd knock on the door, and sometimes I'd see him, sometimes he'd leave them on the step for me. And one day recently he said to me, every time I come, there's the smell of apple tart. And I didn't realise it, you see, because I bake a lot. It's normal for me to bake.
Mm.
And I didn't realise this. And my son said to me, "Oh, Mammy, the next time he comes, have an apple tart for him." You know, it was just the way he said it. But I think to
And
make,
did you? Did you give him one?
Not yet. No, he hasn't come back yet.
He hasn't
but
come
when
back
he does,
yet.
I
right.
will.
Right, okay.
But the thing is that, you know, brown bread scones, now, as a child, we lived in Woodenbridge in Wicklow, and at that time, when you lived in Woodenbridge, you thought Dublin was Australia.
Yes.
You know, I mean, in your head, you thought it was so far away. But again, back to the making. So we had a lovely garden. We didn't have a lot of money, but we had a lovely garden because my mother was good. And on a Sunday, the relations from Lenegary and that, they would get a taxi. Oh, there might have been 6, 7, 8 of them in the taxi. Totally illegal, but they were grand going down there. Very few cars. And my mother would see the car pulling up outside. And she'd say to my father, the minute she saw the car pulling up, my father's name was Harry, but she called him Har. She'd say, "Har, show them the garden. Bring them out, show them the garden." And I remember that so much as a child. That is to give her the opportunity to get the scones into the oven.
Yes.
And it's always
It's all about timing. It's all about timing. Now, how are you? Because are you on your own? Or
no, I have a son living with me. I'm in very good form.
Good.
Very good. I more or less have isolated for the last couple of weeks. I don't particularly need... I go for a walk every day.
Important.
But I have found very nice, mostly who you'd meet, maybe somebody walking a dog or something like that. There's not that many people out around Cavan Teely. But when I go, what I notice is they automatically, when they see me coming a few feet away, they go further out on the footpath with the dog.
Yes.
And the only thing I would say to people, if they could just add the smile...
Yeah.
Because you don't know when you meet somebody what their life is like.
Mm-hmm.
You've no idea.
No.
And if you've wasted your smile, Ray, it hasn't cost you anything.
Now, smiling is so important because I know it's been said over and over again, but it's the truth. We're all in this together. And a smile costs you nothing, as you say, but it's infectious and it spreads. So smile.
Oh, enthusiasm spreads for anything.
Yes.
If you get somebody enthusiastic, like you had on your show there some time ago, a lady from Wicklow and then Edie. If you get somebody enthusiastic for that, even if you're in your kitchen and you're boiling your cabbage, you're doing whatever you're doing, but it lifts you.
It lifts you. And you're lifting my spirits as well. Stay there for a moment because I want to speak to Carol Ann Cummins, who is bringing 120 people together online. How are you doing, Carol Ann?
Hi, Ray. How are you?
Say hello to Anne there.
Hello, Anne.
Hello. How are you?
What's your story, Carol Ann?
Well, basically, I'm involved with a bridge club, Blackrock College Bridge Club, and we have 220 approximately members ranging in various ages up to 90. And I'm a bridge player myself, and because they don't have their bridge games now anymore, they know where to go to meet their friends, I decided to start a WhatsApp group with them to see if any of them were interested in joining
online bridge club. Yeah.
And within, I'd say, an hour, Ray, we had about 2,000 texts coming in on this WhatsApp.
Brilliant.
So we spent the following day registering all these 120 members onto BridgeBase Online. And then we guided them through the site. We helped them play the game. We are now arranging tournaments for them to play in the evening so that they can chat to all their friends in the bridge club. I've had a lot of phone calls kind of from the children of these members saying how wonderful this has been for their mothers. They now have something to do in the evening. They go online at 7:30. They play their bridge tournament, finishing at about 9:40. And it's just given them a new lifeline. They're amazing.
And are they talking to each other or is it all
absolutely.
Talking
they
to, chatting away. Yeah.
They're sitting at the bridge table and they've all their friends. Now, this is all virtual, of course.
Yes, of course.
They're sitting there with their friends and they're playing their cards and they're having a chat with all their ladies. And it's amazing. I mean, I've one woman, I mean, Thelma, she'll kill me. But she is giving us so much laugh and so much joy on this WhatsApp group.
And Carol, what's your story? I know you've done that, but you had time in your hands. Why have you got time in your hands?
Well, I'm self-isolated as well. I was diagnosed with cancer 2 years ago, had my chemo, didn't work, had my immunotherapy, and thank God I'm wonderful.
Great.
I'm a professional bridge player myself,
uh-huh.
So I play a lot online. And I felt that it was time to introduce the rest of the world to my world.
Yes, yeah. So you're staying. You have to stay away because you're in one of those vulnerable categories. Yes, yeah, yeah.
Totally. My son drops my shopping to the door every time I need the shopping.
Right.
I do baking with my granddaughter Maggie on the app Zoom. We bake our banana bread and we have our chats and, you know. The family have all been wonderful.
That was my next question. Do you bake? And you do. And Anne bakes and I bake. And
yes, Anne. I do my banana bread. It's sitting at the doorstep for my son to collect tomorrow when he delivers my shopping. Yes.
It's barter. It's barter. You give me groceries, I'll give you banana bread.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
And Anne, you're going, you give me the post and I'll give you an apple tart.
True enough. True enough. But even today now, Ray, I put on the white linen. Even though I wasn't going to meet you in person.
Right.
I thought, no, we get on the white linen now for Ray today. But no, I just feel that the writing, people don't, if they just start, and it will become a habit.
Okay.
Just start.
Start writing.
I mean, it's very, very simple. And as I say, what this man kept saying in the country was, what will I write about? Write about what's round you.
Yes.
Write about Johnny Byrne down the road. Write about the football pitch, whatever it is.
Good advice.
Don't try to
overcomplicate it.
Maybe now, all correct.
Can I just, before I leave the TUI, Carol Ann Cummins, this is something that people can do all over the country.
Absolutely.
What you've done, yes.
It's a site called Bridge Base Online. And anybody can register to play with it as an individual. We have just done it as a group, just to bring us all back.
Great.
You know, to our normal nights. But anybody, now at the moment the system is overloaded because we have 33,000 people playing per day.
My word.
33,000.
See, people want and need something to do. Yes, yeah.
They have to have something to do. They have to be able to be in communication with
their
friends.
With other people, yes, yeah, yeah.
You know, and it's the elderly we have to think of. You know, I mean, a lot of my members, as I said, they're quite elderly, have never used a computer before. They're now sending their sons out to buy computers and getting their children to teach them how to
And I see that computer shops are essential shops. That's what the government have said, so they're staying open. Listen,
yes.
Carol Ann Cummins, mind yourself. Anne Hackett, keep writing, keep baking, and we'll talk to you soon. And thanks for dressing
thanks
up for me.
Much, Ray.
Bye now.
Take care
bye,
of
bye, bye, bye.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
5 on 551. Colin McInumra. Loads of people want to know what that piece is. Late Afternoon is the name of the piece I played under the birds. And it's Colin McInumra. And Keith's been on about 10 years ago. You said on the radio, if you're one of those people who's lost their job, the best thing you can do is actually get a pair of runners and go out for a run. Did I say that? I did exactly that. And it has changed my life for the better. Oh, good. There's no better time to start this individual sport. Thanks. I'm 10 years later. Oh, late. But I told you that as it passed you during the 2011 marathons, there's Keith started running. And now is a good time to start running. And I think that there are more people doing it. I just see new faces around the route that I run, but then I'm running at a different time, so maybe they run every day at that time and I don't see them. Erica says, the last syllable of the German word Jägerlatine is pronounced Clementine. Aha! So it's Jägerlatine. The word itself means exaggeration by a hunter, so it would be somebody making a story about his hunting bigger than it really is. Aha! And this is what it sounds like. Here we go! And today, Limerick take on Dublin in the All-Ireland Quiz. And that's happening after 4 o'clock. Thank you very much, James Last. That won't be the last we'll hear from you. My husband has set the kids tasks over the last few days while he's at work. He asked them to picture and identify 5 species of birds visiting the bird table, and he would give €5 to the first. Who got it? I forgot we have some very competitive children, and one of them set the alarm at 6:30 a.m. to catch them first. Today's task is another 3, proving difficult. That's Margaret there. And I was staying with my parents recently, who live in rural Ireland. And one day the postman called while I was there. And I said to my dad, the postman is here. And he said, quick, run out and get the news. The postman is vital contact in the community for sure. He delivers the post and the news of the village. That's from Kate. And I lived in Germany, even though I called my mum every week. When I lived in Germany, even though I called my mum every week, my mum would include a letter every week along with the Sunday Independent. 15 years later, I often reread them and I feel very lucky to have them. Just looking at mum's handwriting always comforts me. That's Sharon. By the way, BTW, I noticed the bird song yesterday. Not often you hear that on the North Circular Road. And do the free postcards come with stamps? There's a question. Anybody know the answer to that outside? No, oh, you can send them for free. You don't need stamps. Aha. See, you get them from a post and there's free postage with them, which is a brilliant idea. And thanks very much on post. Carmel says, when we were young, we visited an aunt in the country who always baked bread on the frying pan on an old style range. And you never tasted anything like it. Says Carmel, there's more coming in. We'll get to all your texts and emails before the end of the show. But I want to go now to Paul MacDonald, who's the superintendent out in Phoenix Park. How are you doing, Paul?
Hiya, Ray.
Good to talk to you. You got a mention in the Taoiseach's speech yesterday.
We did, yeah, which is always good. Our park rangers are working hard there in the Phoenix Park.
So he was saying that the Gardaí and park rangers would be patrolling public spaces like the Phoenix Park and Stevens Park to make sure that people were engaging in physical distancing and not gathering in groups. Isn't that it?
Yeah, yeah.
So how are things out in Phoenix Park? What's the story?
Yeah, things have quietened down a bit. I think there was a lot of stuff on the media there at the weekend. There was lots of people gathering in parks. But over the last few days, it has died down significantly. And people are starting to, I suppose, practice social distancing. Social distancing is an awful lot more now. We have seen a lot less people now in the Phoenix Park. I was just talking to our park rangers there, and they're interacting with groups of people and just having friendly conversations where there are large groups and stuff like that, and people are then dispersing.
And what way would those conversations go, Paul?
I suppose, look, it's a case of, you know, they'll approach them and it's just a nice menial manner. And, you know, it's just we're all in this together, you know. And most people are extremely understanding, and sometimes they don't even realise that they're doing it because they don't realise, oh, God, I am 2 metres. I am too close to that person. Right. I'm just going to step back a little bit. And that's all that it is. And, you know, as I said, we're all in this together. And we've noticed a marked improvement in it over the last few days.
And have you introduced signage in Phoenix Park?
Yeah, we've introduced a whole raft of signage throughout the Phoenix Park. We've put up VMS signs, which are flashing on the roads, with just a messaging for people to keep their distance 2 metres. We've also put in some smiley faces on our footpaths throughout the park with a 2 metre distance, which seems to have captured a little bit of imagination from people, because we can see people as they're walking by. And you were talking there about, you know, on your previous speakers, that, you know, a smile means a lot to people, you know, and they look down and they see it, and then they see the 2 metres and they actually step back. The amount of people that are out with their phones and taking pictures of them is amazing. And then also, we like to try and keep things moving as well with signage. So we've put in some more signs then over the last few days, you know, this is 2 metres, and on Garda Síochána were good enough to come down with us there today, and we put up some signs there that this is 2 metres with one of our park rangers. So, as you said already, you know, we're all in this together as a country collectively, you know.
And Paul, how big, what's the acreage of Phoenix Park?
The Phoenix Park is 1,752 acres in size.
Yeah. So it'd take a lot of people to make that crowded.
It would.
There's loads of room for loads of people, really, isn't there?
There is, but as the perimeter wall of Phoenix Park is 13 miles in length. So if you think of that as someone's house, we have a lot of neighbours in the Phoenix Park. We have neighbours in Castleknock, and we have people down and neighbours down on Park 8th Street. And it is a local park at the end of the day for all of these people, as well as a national park for the country. So I suppose during where we are in this corona emergency, we would ask people, if they can, to go to their local parks. You know, don't be going to destination parks if you can. You know, don't be hopping in the car. Like, parks are there really at the moment only for people's physical fitness and for getting a bit of getting.
So destination parks. Oh yeah, don't go into a, and drive up the Wicklow Mountains is what you're saying.
Yeah, exactly,
go to your local
exactly.
park. Yes,
if you can walk to your local park and you only need to get a bit of fresh air and stuff like that, and then go back. The advice we are getting is to stay at home, and we should be saying that. But you know, if you can go to your local park, but then as I was saying, like Phoenix Park, we have a lot of local people living around us, lots of apartments and stuff where people do not have back gardens.
Yes,
and they do need to get out, but we are seeing a huge improvement. We're seeing lots of groups, less than four, and it's mainly family gatherings.
I'd say it's beautiful out there today. It's like a it was like a summer's day earlier on today. I was talking the other day about the back garden of Áras an Uachtaráin, and I was mentioning that Martin McAleese told me once that he used to run around that. Have you had, what's the area that is? It's a big back garden, isn't it?
It's a big, it's quite a big back garden. Yeah, it's 139 acres in size. Yeah,
what the back garden of Áras an Uachtaráin?
Yeah, well, the whole of Áras an Uachtaráin is 139 acres, yeah. So it's
so what perimeter would that be? I don't expect you to know now.
I wouldn't know that one offhand.
Yeah, but he was getting a good run in anyway. He didn't have to do laps.
But like as you were saying, you were talking about running there, like the perimeter of the park is 13 miles, and there's a half marathon. What I would say to people, if people are coming to use the park, you know, the park is beautiful at all times during the daylight, you know, and you go early in the morning. Like we come into work there, I come into work this morning at 7:30, driving down Chesterfield Avenue, and it was absolutely beautiful. You know, avoid peak times, you know, if you do want to get out for your little bit of exercise.
And is the plan to keep it open?
Yeah, at the moment we are following the advice of government and all of the health officials. So the plan is to keep it open, and I think for all parks to keep open, because I think there is a huge recognition there that parks are good for people's health and for our physical fitness.
Yeah.
And that people, they do need that 20 minutes or so just to get out.
Well, listen, just while I have you on, thanks for all the help you've given us over the years in organising races and Operation Transformation and half marathons and all that sort of thing. Paul McDonald, superintendent from Phoenix Park, thanks very much for talking to us today. Mind yourself, Paul.
Thanks very much, Ray. Bye.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
51551 or ray at rte.ie. It's that time again. Yes. It's day three of our All-Ireland quiz. The pairings for round one are up on our page on rte.ie. Very exciting stuff. It's a general knowledge quiz, five questions each. 1 point for each correct answer, and there's a little bit of a twist in that the final question, question five, you have the option of going for a goal question or a point question. And I know that that final question is going to prove very decisive in a lot of our quizzes. Today, Limerick v Dublin. Good afternoon, Deirdre O'Brien. How are you doing, Deirdre?
Not too bad, Ray. How are you?
Good to talk to you. Whereabouts in Limerick are you?
I'm in Clareview.
Limerick City, right.
Limerick City,
right. And what's your virus story? Are you out of work, in work, self-isolating, social distancing, or what are you doing?
Doing all of the above. I'm just staying behind closed doors. I work 3 days a week and we're not open to the public or anything like that.
Okay.
Everybody is very much isolated and respecting all the rules, you know.
Great.
And so, yeah, very much going straight from home to car to work and same again, you know. So not outside the door.
So it's an office job you have?
Yes, it is, yeah.
And do you have a separate room that you're in?
Oh, completely separate,
Right, okay.
Completely separate, yeah.
Right. That must be a bit weird, is it? I would imagine that you would have normally interacted with your workmates, would you?
I would usually be in an office on my own anyway.
Okay.
And you'd meet at the photocopier, making a cup of tea or whatever. But it is actually a little bit strange. But,
What about the rest of the family?
My husband works in the hospital. He's in maintenance there, so he's part of his essential services, have to be at work. And my daughter, who's a student teacher, is studying online like the rest of the country.
Right. Is she in Mary Eye? Is that where she is?
Yeah, that's right. Primary teaching.
Okay.
Yeah. And what, another daughter in Galway.
Do they know what's going to happen with their exams, summer exams?
I don't think they know yet. Okay. They may be cancelled, possibly.
Have you ever represented your county in anything before in your life?
No.
No, okay.
It's
the first day. You're up against Justin Moore, who's representing Dublin. How are you doing, Justin?
Sorry, Raymond, how are you?
Good to talk. Only my mother calls me Raymond, and maybe one of my sisters.
Sorry. But, no, so my best friend is Ray, and I always call him Raymond. That's right. Just habit, Ray.
Just to annoy him, is it?
Yeah, a little bit, a little bit. But I'm being condescending.
Yes, yeah. Now, look, Raymond, as you know. Right, exactly. Whereabouts in Dublin are you, Justin?
No, I'm actually from Dublin, but I'm living in Longwood and Meath.
Aha, right. And that you qualify, that's fine. That's,
yeah,
you know,
that's it, yeah.
And what's your story? Are you at work or not at work? Or?
No, I'm not at work. It's finished up last Monday, so I'm out on the road as a rep, so all the shops are closed, so there's nowhere to go, basically. Yeah.
What do you sell?
Giftware into jewellers and gift shops and stuff like that.
So they'd be non-essential?
Absolutely.
Unessential, yeah.
Yeah.
And who's at home with you?
Just the wife and the daughter and the son.
Right. And is everything going well?
Well, if you want to paint all day, it's great, yeah.
Right, sir. Well, you're in good company. I see Amy Huberman put up a picture of Brian O'Driscoll painting the shed there last week. Yeah. What have you painted so far?
We're doing the hall stairs and landing, the worst room you could do. Now, we've only managed to do sort of the hall end of it. I want to break it up and do it over 3 or 4 days or 3 or 4 weeks.
Yeah.
Basically. You know, it's grand.
Yeah, it's a difficult one because there's loads of nooks and crannies, isn't there?
Absolutely.
Right, good luck with that. Okay, it's time for county anthems. So, Deirdre, if you would be upstanding for the county anthem of Limerick. Here we go. Where's the thing? There it is there.
Come on, Dennis Allen.
Waters, tears of joy that flow. The beauty
that surrounds you. You can join in, Deirdre.
I take it with me wherever I go.
There you go. You're not getting away with it, Justin. Here we go.
As she wields her wheel and barrow,
that's an easy one.
Streets wide and narrow. Crying
Oh, Limerick, go on, Dublin. That was Sean Dunphy, Limerick, You're a Lady, and the Dublin City Ramblers, Molly Malone. Now, 5 questions each. All on general knowledge. When we get to the final question, I'll explain it then. But just to let you know, to mark your cards, you can go for a 3-point question or a 1-point question. And of course, your decision will depend on where you are at that particular stage in the competition. Good luck to you both. Deirdre representing Limerick and Justin representing Dublin. Let's get a bit of tension going.
Best of luck, Justin.
Best of luck, Deirdre.
Okay. So, Deirdre, for the first question, you have to answer a question on Dublin. What year did Dublin's millennium celebrations take place? 1985, 1988 or 1990?
1988.
Is the correct answer. Well done. Justin, you're from Dublin. You have to answer a question on Limerick. According to the 2016 census, what was the population of the county of Limerick? Was it 194,899, 204,899 or 214,899?
214.
It was 194,000. That was a difficult enough question. But anyway, early days. Deirdre, your second question. What country knocked Ireland out of the 2002 World Cup, beating them 3-2 on penalties? Was it Spain, Portugal or France?
France?
No, it was Spain. That was the year of the big Saipan hoo-ha with Mick McCarthy and Roy Keane. Right, Justin, a chance for you to go level. It's a soccer question as well. Who succeeded Brian Kerr as Republic of Ireland soccer manager? Was it Steve Staunton, Mick McCarthy or Giovanni Trapattoni?
Oh, Steve Staunton.
Is the correct answer. Well done. He was appointed in 2006. Okay, so it's 1-1. Question number 3 for you, Deirdre, representing Limerick. Which of these rivers is the longest? The River Lee, the River Liffey or the River Boyne? Which is the longest?
My teacher's doing myself to me here. the Lee, the Liffey or the Boyne?
Yes, need an answer from you.
The Lee.
No. It's the Liffey. The Liffey is 132 kilometres, the Lee is 89 and the Boyne is 113 kilometres. So it's the Liffey is the correct answer. Okay, you're still on one. Question number three for you, Justin. What is Ireland's largest offshore island? Inishmore, Achill or Valentia? Good question. What is Ireland's largest offshore island? Need an answer from you? Come on, need an answer? No, I'll have to...
Aran.
No, it's Achill. It's Achill Island. Achill Island. Right. Okay, so
I knew that one.
Both of you are on one. Question number four is the audio round. So for you, Deirdre, can you identify this Irish actor for us, please? Here he is. Right, now, hold on. And here he is.
Nobody squirts condiments on my apron.
Got it.
And nobody bonks me on the head with a baguette.
No bonking.
I'll overhaul the menu, all right.
Really?
Dish of the day?
Yes.
Bear pie.
Who's that there?
Haven't a bull's notion.
No idea. Right.
No.
That's Brendan Gleeson.
Oh my God, I love him.
Yes, yeah.
My daughter just said it.
In Paddington 2. Okay. Justin, okay. A chance for you to go ahead on your audio question. Can you name this Irish actor?
No, you can eat when you get there. Don't eat on the boat. It'll stop you getting so sick. Do you promise me? I promise. And in a moment, I want you to go straight down to your cabin and lock the bathroom door on your side. When next door starts hammering, you can negotiate.
Who's that?
Saoirse Ronan.
It is Saoirse Ronan from Brooklyn, right? Okay, that puts you in front. But here's where the final question comes into its own. So, Deirdre, you're on one point. You can go for a one-point question.
Mm-hmm.
But then if Justin gets his question right, he wins. Or you can go for a three-point question, as in a goal question, which will be a little bit more difficult, but it means that you'll be on four, which means that Justin will have to go for his difficult question as well. So what are you going to go for?
I'll go for the 3-pointer. You'll go for the 3-pointer. I'll be on for sheep of a lamb, yeah.
Okay, here's your 3-point question, which will bring you up to 4 points. Deirdre O'Brien, representing Limerick in our All-Ireland quiz, who is the oldest member of U2? Larry Mullen, Bono, The Edge or Adam Clayton?
Adam Clayton.
You say Adam Clayton. It's the correct answer. He celebrated his 60th birthday. Just earlier this month, March 13th, Bono is 59 and The Edge and Larry are 58. So you are up now to 4 points. Justin, you are on 2 points. So if you want to win, you have to go for the 3-pointer.
Absolutely.
Okay. A little bit more difficult, but you're going for the 3-pointer. Here it is, to win the competition and put Dublin through to the second round.
No pressure, right?
No pressure. I forgot to ask you, have you ever represented Dublin at anything before in your life?
No, this quiz.
Just this quiz, okay. Right, Justin Moore from the Liberties originally. What's the total number of counties which border County Meath? 4, 5, 6 or 7?
County Meath, oh. 4.
No, it's 7. It's 7. Which means Deirdre O'Brien is our winner today. Justin, you're a great sport.
We're going to send you
out a mug to put your tea in while you're painting the hall stairs in London. And,
I'll be a real painter then, right?
I'll be your real painter then. Thanks, Justin. Mind yourself. Stay safe.
Thanks, Raymond. Bye.
Bye. Deirdre, bye. You're through and you bring your county through with you to round 2 of the All-Ireland quiz. We'll be talking to you next week sometime.
Limerick-a-boo.
Well done, Limerick-a-boo. Congratulations, Deirdre. Talk to you soon. Thanks. Bye. Bye.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
51551. Tomorrow in our All-Ireland quiz, Waterford versus Westmeath. And if you want to step up to the plate and represent your county, you can register your interest on allirelandquiz@rte.ie. Tell me as much about yourself as you can. That's All-Ireland Quiz @rte.ie, or we'll be giving out the number tomorrow that you can ring. Waterford versus Westmeath. And well done again to Deirdre, who won today's quiz for Limerick. Now, just a quick word on the postman. I'm 49, mum of 2 and living in Kildare, and I have the best postman in Ireland. He always has a smile, time to stop, have a quick chat, and a great man to keep us up to date with local knowledge. Due to ill health, I don't get out much. Every Christmas I give him a card with a little gesture, money, but not sure if we can say that in case they get in trouble. Nobody knows who he is. Anyway, post people are an invaluable source of information and comfort. let's look after them. And as a child, teenager, I had lots of pen friends, but lost touch over time. But I however, in the US, has lasted 55 years. Well, okay. Anyway, we've met a few times over the years, but communicate mostly by email, WhatsApp and Facebook now, but still regularly we write. My daughter is living in Australia for 6 years now, and I write to her every month. And as I travel quite a lot, I send a postcard from every place I go, even if only a night away in Ireland. I love writing and receiving letters. It's a joy in this busy era, says Doreen. Thanks for that, Doreen. And thanks to Geraldine Mullins in Bantry, because Geraldine was out recording bird song this morning. And this is from 11:15, Bantry time. There you go. That's Birdsong from Bantry. And then we have seagulls from Dublin. Whoa! Thanks, Des. Not very calming, our seagulls. But thank you very much, that Des Cannon. Recorded in Dolby Atmos. Headphones are recommended, he says. That's from Des Cannon. Thank you. Now, there's a lot more baking going on and there's a lot more cooking from scratch going on. So we decided that we'd speak to a regular on the show, Lily Higgins, food writer, photographer, chef and mum of three. How are you doing, Lily?
Hi, Ray. Very calming noises there.
Yes.
I need a test.
No, here we go. This one. Listen to this one. This is from my garden this morning. That's the dog. Sorry. You'd be in the middle of a lovely bit of bird song and then the dog would crunch on stones and you go,
it's lovely though, but it's, yeah, the bird song is deafening. It's, yeah, unbelievable.
Right. How are you? You've an 8-year-old, a 7-year-old, and a 4-year-old, Liam, Colin, Hazel.
I do. Yeah.
So how
we're great.
You're good.
Flying, yeah, just, do you know what? I can keep it up for another 2 days maybe. just the homeschooling, working from home thing. You know what? It's incredible. It's like the week in between Christmas and New Year's, isn't it? It's like limbo.
Yes.
But you know what? It's actually great because before I ever had kids, I was thinking, I'm going to homeschool them. I'm going to make sourdough bread every day. And then the other day, I realized, I'm doing that, you know?
Like, yeah.
That's what's actually happening at the moment. And it is exhausting, but there's also moments in between where I'm thinking that this is really great, yeah, you know? Just the opportunity for everyone to stay home and just sort of a slower pace in life, I think.
Yeah, it's nice. It's nice. Yeah,
yeah, it is beneficial, you know, and it's kind of it's nice to just stay home.
Sourdough, that's a long process, is it? Sourdough bread.
It's so low. Do you know what? I've actually just shaped my loaf. It's taking over my life. So you have to feed, you have to create a starter. Which basically, sourdough is amazing because you only need flour, water and salt. That's all you need to make the most amazing bread. And then the secret ingredient is time, which we have.
All the time in the world. Yes.
Endless. We have an endless amount of time. So so it's really great. And you know what? I did a course with Joe down at Ryan Clough Jordan and Eco Village back in 2017. And you know, I loved it. And for about 2 months, I was making bread every day. And then just things got really busy and I stopped. So it's really great to be able to go back to it. So like in Riot, they have tutorials online, and the same with Patrick in Firehouse Bakery in Delagony. There's loads of stuff online about how to create your own starter and then how to make your own bread.
To make your own starter?
Yes, so you start with flour and water, and you just leave it ferment overnight, a little bit of flour and water, and bubbles right. start to
appear. That's the starter, is it? It's called
the starter. That's the starter,
yeah,
exactly.
I see.
So, and you have to feed it for 6 days. You have to keep topping up it up with flour and taking out
six days?
Ray, we've loads of time.
Come on.
Like, in old money, that's an hour. So 6 days is nothing. I actually thought it would be ages, but now I'm on day three now of actually making my own bread, and it's fantastic. It's really great. So you're relying on the natural yeasts that are still in the flour to sort of take over.
Right.
So a lot of people were sort of in dismay that there was no yeast left in the shop, but this is a really good solution to that. You know, you don't need yeast.
So you slowly add to it over 6 days, is that it?
Yeah, you take a bit away and you add a bit and you keep taking a bit away and adding a bit. So it's the oldest way to make bread.
And what do you, it's a combination of, you have me intrigued now. It's water and flour, tiny bit, and then what do you feed it each night then?
You feed it more flour then.
More flour.
To top it up. Yeah, exactly. Okay. And a little bit of more flour, a little bit more water. So it's like a paste. So you've got a jam jar on the counter full of this paste, and then you use that instead of yeast to make your bread then. On the seventh day, it rolls again to make bread, which is just amazing. So, but it's really, and like, there's loads of people online who are just
Look,
community.
Neve has thrown down the bacon tin there, or the gauntlet, and she said, would I do it? And I will, I'll do it.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. And you know what? Some bakeries, I think like Bread 41 in Dublin, that we're actually giving away starter to people. So that way you don't have to go
I'd never heard
days.
That expression before, starter.
Yeah,
The only starter that I know is garlic prawns. That's as far as I know.
Which are delicious.
Yes, they are delicious.
When you go to restaurants.
Yeah. They're very posh in the Canary Islands, don't you know? That's their dish.
And pil-pil.
Pil-pil prawns.
But it's really, really good. And you know what? The brilliant thing is every night now before I go to bed, instead of like scrolling endlessly through Twitter for updates on something I can't control, I just go into the kitchen and feed my starter and I just go to bed. So it's brilliant.
Jenny's going to be going, what are you doing? Come up to bed. I'm feeding my starter. I'll be up in a minute.
But you'll be happy because you'll know that you'll have amazing bread then the next day. So it's really good.
Right. But you see, the only problem is, and I'm, you know, I've committed to it, but after giving it all that time and effort, and then if it doesn't work out at the end because of, you know, an oven that's hotter than it should be or something like that, I'd be very disappointed. Anyway, I'll deal with that when it comes. I'll deal
no,
with that when
that's
it comes.
Fighting spirit, Ray. No,
yes.
Keep
yes,
doing
yeah,
it.
Now, people will know if they're visiting their local supermarket that as well as toilet roll, that pasta and tinned tomatoes are in short supply. So people must have loads of tinned tomatoes at home. They don't go off. They'd survive a Holocaust. So we asked you to come up with a few ideas to do something exciting and imaginative and creative with tinned tomatoes. You're on.
Yes. So, okay. So the first thing is Portuguese fish stew. So I actually, this is something that I made for my junior cert practicing exam way back in 2014, something like that. So basically what it is you fry up some pepper and some onion and garlic, and then you add in some spices. So basically anything you have, I use crushed fennel seeds, but you could change things up. You could use cumin or something like that, whatever is in your press. And then you just add the tinned tomatoes. You can add a bit of stock and a bit of wine. I've given you all these recipes.
Yes, and we're going to put them up. Yes, thank you very much. Yeah. Yes, yeah, yeah.
So, and then little cubed potatoes. So basically the keyword that we all need is versatility. So just be versatile, be creative in the kitchen. And, you know, no one's going to judge you on what you're making except for, you know, your kids. So I think use whatever you have, and it's a really good opportunity to be creative. So what I do with this is I make it basically like a tomato stew. And then you can cook fish fillets on top. So just frozen fillets of fish you can put on top, or you can serve this with chicken. It's a really good sort of a tomato side dish, you know, sort of a vegetable side dish.
Ah, yeah.
So it's
sort of a multi-purpose tomato sauce
it's
type
totally
thing.
Totally multi-purpose.
Yes,
yeah. So
yes,
you could pull this through pasta. You could do, you
yes,
know, baked
yes.
potatoes.
Great,
and have this on
great,
top.
Great. So, we'll put that up, and people will be looking. And just the warning from me, from years of experience, is that don't burn the garlic.
Oh, definitely.
It's the worst, one of the worst tastes in the world because you're not expecting it. It's very bitter and it just ruins the whole thing.
Oh, it ruins
the whole,
there's no saving it.
No saving it. No, you have to throw it out and start again.
You just need to warm the garlic to get that raw edge off it and then carry on with the recipe. So you're cooking your onion first and then you're slowly adding the garlic and, you know, adding whatever liquid then straight away.
Okay.
So
okay.
Another recipe that I've given you, which is delicious, it's tomato and basil tortellini soup.
All right, so, that sounds good, yeah.
Oh, it's so gorgeous. So basically what you're doing here is you've got your onion and garlic and you're cooking the two of them in butter or olive oil, whichever you have, till they're a bit soft. And then you're seasoning with salt and pepper and a little bit of balsamic vinegar then just to sort of give some depth. And then you just blitz it in. So I use a Nutribullet for this, but you could use a blender as well. You're blitzing the onions and the garlic with tinned tomatoes and some basil leaves.
Right.
So if you don't have basil leaves, you could use, you know, sort of dried Italian herb mix.
Yes.
You could have that. You could have pesto. So anything like that you can add in. And then this gives a really nice creamy soup. You're going to be adding a bit of cream to it. If you don't have cream, you could use milk. You could use a bit of cream cheese. There's loads of different things you could be using. So basically that makes a lovely creamy tomato soup. But then what I like to do is add some sautéed shredded cabbage into that and some tortellini. So, you know, the little stuffed pasta that you get yes. backpacked, they just sort of make it more less of a lunch and more of a dinner. So by adding in the cabbage and the little tortellini, and the tortellini cooks itself in the soup, and then you ladle it into bowls with some torn bread, and it is just absolutely gorgeous. So it's a really sort of a hearty meal, you know.
We're going to eat this outside, just so you know. We're going to eat it outside. It's going to be al fresco. Just
yes, with a drizzle of olive oil.
Right. We're running out of time. Lily, we're going to talk to you again before we get through all of this. But thanks for that. And we've put up all your recipes up online.
Brilliant.
And mind yourself. And I need advice on the sourdough starter, I'll be back on to you.
Do get in touch. Thanks a million.
Right.
Bye.
See you now. Bye. 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 That's Lily Higgins there. And that's it from us for today. Mary Wilson is on the way. And we will talk to you again tomorrow at what time? 3:00. Mind yourselves, stay safe, and enjoy the rest of your Wednesday evening.